Okay, welcome back. We're at hour two. This is hour two of Immunize Wisely with your host, Angry Castle. My guest is Shannon Rowan with her latest book, Shots Fired, Vaccine Weapons, Medical Tyranny, and the War Against Humanity. And it's an incredible book. I mean, it's a book, if I was more patient and I didn't have my Gemini rising, as I told her, keeps me scattered. But I, I'm kind of more of an activist at heart. But I would have written this book. This is like everything that's, so I'm probably going to buy a case. I just want you to know.
Great.
This is a really excellent, excellent book. So I'm going to put a sample. I just have, you said the table of contents there. When I see it says you're viewing a sample of the Kindle version, and I'm trying to get the table of contents. So
should show up there. I haven't looked again, but I think that's what they usually do is show. Hold on. Anyway, we could talk about that.
Next commercial.
I think that they do show when you do like a sample. Let me click on it now.
It just goes to part one. It's a 14%.
Oh, it doesn't have it. Okay. I'm sorry. I thought that you usually they have the table of contents in there. So, okay.
Well, just go ahead and ask them to add the table.
Yeah, I can see. I don't know if I can do that, but I'll try. Okay. So we were talking about viruses and isolation and all this. So, viruses just came about because the people promoting germ theory were at a loss to find like bacteria that, in certain cases of illness. So they assumed that it's something smaller. And what's already really interesting about that is that if we're going to go that route, like then there's always going to be something we can't see. We're never going to have an instrument sophisticated enough to see the smallest thing, So like, why is it even that they focus on the smallest thing inside of us as the thing that's responsible for illness when they already admit there's trillions of those things inside of us of different varieties and, maybe only like 1% of them have been studied at all. So how have they found out what the pathogenic ones are and the rest of them are fine? Like, I mean, how do you know that? It's ridiculous, right? It's already kind of crazy.
Well, the Human Microbiome Project? I mean, that was done, that came out in 2011, I think. And I mean, it totally disproved the whole germ theory, the whole virus theory. They found tons of these supposedly disease-causing things in vitally healthy people.
Exactly. And this is where we're just, it's another, like I was saying earlier, this is all an illusion. It's all like a magic trick. It's an act, right, to distract us and to get us on board with like this system that makes us sick while they like the killing bill. And that's what Jennifer Daniels says, the lethal dose, like they kill. The system is designed to kill and bill. And that's what's the design, right? So they sicken you. They charge you the whole time a lot of money for that and then ultimately kill you. And that's what's profitable. And it's not just profitable because ultimately it's like, well, where's the profit when you kill off all your patients? Well, by that time they have so much money, like you can see now, like trillions of dollars, that they have the power that they want, because this is, we have to look, I'm not going to get all into like the who's involved right now, but if when you look at a control agenda in a government that's been taken over by, psychopaths who want to control everybody and they power tripping, they want us to be dumbed down, first of all. Sickened, depopulated, dumbed down. The money is an illusion. Money just gets them where they need to be in terms of a position of power, right? So if you focus too much on money, then you're like, well, it doesn't make sense because then why, because ultimately, the model's going to fail when doctors are getting sick because they're mandated to take these injections too and they're dying and then you don't even have that many doctors anymore, Right. So anyway, the virus isolation is interesting because that word itself has been completely bastardized in the medical use of the term, and it really doesn't mean what we think it means. Isolation should be take something from one thing and out of it, and it's isolated from it, right? No, the whole process that they call isolation, they're actually constantly adding things to it. And I could talk about that, but there have been thousands of freedom of information requests and, by just ordinary citizens that have all come back either with no response, to all these government agencies, to the places that should be able to tell us if a virus has been isolated, should be able to prove it and, show you the papers, and none of them can. And they come back with responses like the, James McKaminsky, who wrote my foreword, like I have a sample of one of his letters just during this whole Corona hoax. He asked again, to give him he wants the information regarding the diameter of SARS-CoV-2 virus and then these other ones, right? And they write back and they say, we don't have that information, and this request he gave the FOI doesn't authorize them to create a record which doesn't exist. So they admit the record doesn't exist, so they can't create one because there's no record. And they actually, right here I'm reading it, says, this is the National Virus Laboratory in Dublin, that's where he lives, that they says, we have been advised that they do not isolate pathogenic viruses, and therefore they do not hold records relating to the diameter of such viruses. They said they do not isolate them. They do not do it, okay? So what people see when they see pictures of a coronavirus is a model computer rendition. It's not a photograph. Again, the electron microscope is capable of viewing down to the diameters that they say that the viruses are, and yet it doesn't. It doesn't take, you can't take, you should be able to take a picture. You should be able to see it and take a picture, and they don't. What they take pictures of are what they call viral particles. So they're assuming that these particles they see are part of the genome, and for some reason they haven't isolated or photographed the genome when we have all the technology available in order to do that, and they don't do it. So what passes now for isolation is this whole bizarre process that I have several examples of in my book, where you take, I'll try to like simplify it because this is like what people have a hard time getting their head around. It's so strange, okay? It's just so backwards. So you take like a cell culture, what they call a cell culture would come from kidneys from a monkey, a rhesus or a green monkey. You take out their kidneys and grind them up, and then that's a cell culture. Or it could be bovine fetal serum, which comes from a fetus from a cow who's going to slaughter. She may or may not be alive when they rip the body, the fetus out of her, pregnant cow. Another horrifying thing going on that people just have no idea about. And it could be from like eggs, but usually it's the bovine, the fetal one, or the monkey kidney cells.
Okay, so they have this. They've really morphed. I mean, right now they're really trying to have all the vaccines on abort of fetal cell lines because that's the most damage.
So. Well, that's not even. I'm not even talking about human fetuses yet. I'm just talking about the cell culture for the virus isolation process.
All right,
What's in the vaccines, because that's another whole other thing. Okay, so this is just for them to say that there's a virus, right? So say that there's somebody sick and they say, oh, this person has, we think this person has this new virus called COVID. We're calling it COVID, whatever, And so we're going to take a sample of their saliva and we're going to add it to the cell culture. And we're going to see when we add it if the cells die or to get, distorted. And if they're mutating, distorting, and dying at a certain rate, then that means that there must be a virus in the sample from the sick patient that's causing it. But what they do in between that step is they first add a lot of chemicals to the cell culture. So you've taken these fresh kidney cells. They have to be fresh because they're going to start dying like immediately just because they're outside the body, right? So then they add a variety of chemicals. One's a bactericide because they want to make sure they kill any bacteria that might be in it. And so before they add these bactericides and other chemicals, they look at the cell culture under a microscope and look at cells. Are they healthy? What do they look like, right? Okay, so you start with that. Then they add all this other stuff. They don't look at it again under the microscope, not yet. So there's a whole long process of like what they heat it, they spin it around, they add, sometimes dyes, they add these chemicals, they add a bactericide, they add antibiotics, right? And all these things that could easily destroy the sample alone, but they don't test for that. They don't do a control and look at that. Instead, they let it sit for like 48 hours. At one point in this, they add the sputum from the sick person or the urine sample, right? And then they let it sit for 2 days, and then they look at it under the microscope. So at that point, if you see like 50% or more of the cells are destroyed, then they can call that, virus isolation. That's what they call virus isolation. And not only that, they can then use that sample as part of the vaccine they're going to develop. So it just
so it's, this, yeah. So they're doing, when you're talking about spinning, are they using the centrifuge machine?
They make, yes, centrifuging. Right. Sometimes they don't. And, you know, it's like there's just, there's so many steps and there's a lot of heating, like high heating involved.
Right.
So what Stefan Lanka did was he did the, and so they don't do a control experiment. They don't do two kinds of controls. They don't take like a sample from a person who's well and compare, you know, do the same process. They also don't look at this cell culture under a microscope before they add all these chemicals. I mean, after they add all the chemicals and before they add this saliva from the mm-hmm. sick person. So they don't do that. So it's not real science. You can't have real science without a control, you know, because you, otherwise you don't know what's really going on. And so Stefan Lanka did this. His called Project Emmanuel. He did this in 2021 and with his team. And guess what they found? The exact same thing was observed in when you added the spit, or you didn't add the spit, is when you added all this other stuff to those cell cultures, the cells die. Right, because the chemicals are killing them, not a virus. Okay,
right.
So that's what it's fraud. It is fraud.
It is fraud. Using yeah. a bactericide and all these things, you know, it's because it, you know, for the vaccines, I mean, they do things like the Marisol
yes.
to immobilize it. Otherwise, it would be so nasty, the whole mm-hmm. culture, that it, you know, someone would die instantly,
right.
supposedly.
Right.
But that's what the Marisol is supposed to keep it from being.
Yeah, because
too
some
violent.
Die instantly anyway, and it's called SIDS, and now it's called
right.
SEP.
There's exactly.
sudden infant adult syndrome and sudden. I'm sorry. Sudden infant death syndrome and sudden adult death syndrome. It's amazing that they call it a syndrome, that somebody suddenly dies as a syndrome, like it's a disorder that you could inherit, that you inherited a gene that's going to make you suddenly die. You don't know when. Maybe just is directly following a vaccine, but that's incidental. It has nothing to do with it.
I know. It's so bizarre. Yeah. Just so you know, Jim O'Kelly, I should introduce you to him, but anyway, he did not record the call. He was kicking himself over and over again. He called Philadelphia Children's Hospital, and Paul Offit works there, and
yeah.
he actually got Paul Offit. It wasn't a secretary
wow.
or anything.
Mm-hmm.
He got had this conversation with him, and Paul Offit actually admitted to having a centrifuge machine in his room, because he goes around to the children and gets, you know, all their like fluids and all the gross stuff
mm-hmm.
that they're exuding from being sick, and takes it back, and that's, you know, he's using a lot of that stuff for his the cultures for the vaccines.
Wow.
Well,
he's the one who said that you could safely give a child 100,000 vaccines in one visit, and it wouldn't
actually
harm
I
them.
Think it's 10,000. It was 10,000.
Oh, well, I got 100,000 from a book I read, and I
really?
Well, that's my book. Yeah. You know the book Jabbed by Brett Wilcox?
Right. Actually, and back in the day, because I remember it real clearly,
yeah.
we were talking about it way back. I mean, we're talking, this is like 2000, and we're all like, oh my God,
right.
we're all reeling in the movement.
Yeah.
And I remember it was 10,000, but it's okay.
Okay.
Things change. It's kind of
it
like
may, he may have said,
I mean,
100,000 later. I don't know. I mean, but that's been parroted. At least that other people have
yeah.
said 100,000, thinking he said it, and like saying that that's a thing. You know that
yeah,
you can do that.
Yeah, because I think people are citing someone later that was
yeah.
credible that just added a zero. That's what happens.
Yeah, but and even was, then, either way, it's yeah. absurd. You know, you're talking
well, it
about
is. It is.
First of all, several liters of liquid that you can't inject that much, even just if it was water. You know, and like, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. It's a stupid thing to say. You know, based in no kind of reality, you know, just absurd, right? Completely absurd.
Well, yeah, people do talk about the tribe. Every single one of these psychopaths. That are, you know, we're talking about Stanley Plotkin, who wrote the vaccine book and, you know, pioneered the whole aborted fetal cell line, and Paul Offit. They're all part of the tribe, just
yeah.
so you know.
Right. I have a little section that says, come off it, Dr. Offit.
Prophet. We call him Dr. Prophet.
Oh, the prophet. Yeah, right. Oh man. So
oh,
yeah, so that's the virus isolation hoax, and you know, I go into detail about that, and then the germ theory is related to that. And then you've got antibodies, right? So the whole premise of vaccines and how they supposedly work And this is where immune system ties into. And we were talking off air, and I say I tend to not say immune system because that's another invention of the industry to get us on board with this stuff. I would say there's something called disease resilience, but you can't be immune to anything. You can't actually, like, nothing will make you immune to something where if you, it's like saying you were burned and then because you got burned, you won't get, if you get burned again in the same spot, you won't feel the pain and you'll be fine.
Right.
You know, like, so if you, whatever made you sick, like drinking a bottle of bleach isn't going to prevent you from getting sick if you drink a bottle of bleach again. Right.
Right. I mean, and this is the whole thing.
Example, with but it's just like, right.
Well, I just mentioned Dr. Buttar. I mean, he, you know, obviously was an example of health on a level, but a lot of these people we've noticed, both Shannon and I have noticed, they don't pay attention to the wireless world.
No. And that is poison. That is a poisonous exposure. So getting a little bit of the poison or more of that all the time isn't going to make you immune to it. You can't become immune to these fields. You don't adapt to them. Even if there was such a thing as like a Darwinian adaptation model, that's millions of years. You know, you don't do it in a few decades. And what people mistake for adaptation is compensation. Your body is compensating for an exposure, which means something is being compromised in your body when you think you feel okay in these fields. And you don't realize that you're always compensating. Like, this is destructive. You know, it's like, it's just, yeah, it's on all levels. It's cellularly destructive and has been proven over and over again. They're non-native frequencies to the planet. We're not adapted to them at all. And you can't just become adapted to them suddenly. You know, and so in some way you're being compromised. And you're not becoming more immune to these exposures the more you're exposed to them. And this is the premise of vaccines, is like the more, you know, you get exposed to a little bit of poison is going to prevent you from getting sick when you're introduced to another, you know, and they're calling the virus the poison. Again, virus means poison. And so saying this is a pathogen. And so the really interesting thing about that is that they never just have the even if like they don't really isolate a virus, right? And they say that what they did is virus isolation. They don't just like inject you with somebody's spit that has a virus in it, right? Because guess what? That doesn't even really make anybody sick. They've done experiments with this. In fact, I've cited them in chapter 5. Like, people have injected during the Spanish flu. This happened a lot. They're trying to prove like contagion. Right. So they had like all kinds of these prisoners, you know, people that were like willing volunteers because they reduced their sentence or whatever. Right. And they exposed them to the Spanish flu patients. They had the Spanish flu patients spit on them, cough in their faces. They took the saliva and the snot from them, sprayed them in the back of the throats of the volunteers. They even injected them with this stuff and none of them got sick. None of them. Right. Mm-hmm. So what happens with vaccines is like just giving then they get into this whole fancy stuff about attenuated viruses, whatever. Viruses aren't alive to begin with. They're not even considered to be alive by virologists. They're not microorganisms. They're supposed to be genetic material, either RNA or DNA inside a protein shell, right? And so they can replicate supposedly based on like genetics principles of like genetic replication, but they're not alive. So they're not going to like live outside of the host and the body, and they can't like really, in that case, it's like, how could they be flying through the air and attacking people or whatever, right? They can't. So are we coming to another break?
We are. Okay. Then we're going to start, you know, so that'll give people to the whole spike protein thing. So I wanted you to talk about that.
Okay.
Okay. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that kind of leads to what you're talking about. Okay.
Sure.
So stay tuned. You're listening to Shannon Rowan.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop and lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop and lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Talk about. I mean, we could take callers, but I mean, she has a lot to cover, so I should just let her rip on this, you know, because she, I mean, it, you can't really cover 735 pages with 50 pages of references in less than 2 hours with the commercial breaks. But if you have like questions, you know, we could take callers, but we could also, you know, put it in the chat room if you want me to ask her a question too, and I'll try to shut up. You know, just the way it is, you know, but, you know, there's all, there are things that we're, you know, kind of talking about that, you know, I think is important for the listeners to hear too. You know, we talk about poison tolerance and, you know, resilience. This is exactly what, you know, she's, her book explains all that really well. You know, because you can, your body gets used to a certain thing, you know, whether it's, smoking or even drinking alcohol, you'll have a certain poison tolerance until you don't. And then you're, you know, drinking, you know, you have your liver totally compromised and it takes its toll. Your body's always trying to be in balance, and it does all these amazing feats to make up for, you know, a lot of times the self medicating poison you're doing to it. So it's pretty interesting. But so go ahead. Yeah.
That's a good example of the liver being like, you know, people feeling like they're fine when they drink so much for so many years, but eventually, obviously the whole time the liver has been compromised, and eventually that's too much and then you die. You die prematurely and actually in a really horrific way, you know, and during that time where you're drunk all those years, you ruin relationships, you can't work, you know, there's all kinds of things that are going on that aren't healthy, and it's not really the optimal way to live. And we're trying to look toward, you know, living an optimal way and in the best way we can, in spite of like all, especially in the face of all the poisoning. And that's why I have a whole chapter on poisoning. It's chapter 3, history poisoning and like other, you know, not just vaccines, but other aspects of like how we're getting poisoned all the time. So it's so important to, like Ingrid says, to be detoxing and finding and doing this regularly, because we're regularly being poisoned. So, you know, you've got to always be detoxing and always and try to protect yourself in any way you can. Some things you can't avoid, some things you can, and do what you can, you know, avoid what you can and make the effort. Know what's poisonous, you know what's really harming you. And that's why I have another whole chapter about like what really makes us sick, because then if it isn't germs, what is it? Right. And so what I wanted to say without getting into all the details, we don't really have time for it, is that there, this is all fraud. It's never been proven that a bacterium or a virus has ever been the definitive causative agent for any disease, any of them. Not TB, not any of them. This has not been proven. It's been very inconsistent, right? So like at one point you say, oh, this person has this bacteria in it, the tuberculosis one, right? And so they have the TB symptoms, but then that's not always the case. People can have the symptoms and not have the bacteria show up, and vice versa. And, you know, they can be symptom free and have these bacteria, and but they're not sick and they never get sick. So that is just, it's never been proven. It's very, so even with bacteria, and definitely not with viruses, they never actually showed that viruses exist in the first place. This is a theory. It's a theory only, right? And so knowing that is super, it's really important, I think, and that this has all just been fraud and deception. And once you see who the players are, where the funding is coming from, and that there's always been a political agenda, like then you can see the, you know, understand what's why this has been allowed to happen for so long. I mean, people have fought this from the beginning, you know, from the beginning with Jenner, people were against him. His own townspeople were against him. He was killing their children. They saw that happening. He called them the anti-vaccinists. You know, now we're anti-vaxxers. We used to be anti-vaccinists. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and they were like a thorn in his side. He was always complaining about them. They were getting in the way of his profits. I mean, he got the equivalent of millions of dollars or pounds from the government at the time to promote this, right? Like he and they and the government, like to mandate it. Well, people saw this as being hurt. They said that they're being herded like cattle, and that's why it's the cow. He used cow pus, you know, mm-hmm. From what he called cowpox to make, you know, to like as the agent and with his vaccines. That's why it's called vaccine. It comes from the term vaca, which is cow, right? So it's cow medicine. And people saw that then that they were being herded like cattle, like lowing cattle, they said, in the interests of big government in the pay of big pox. So what we call big pharma now was big pox back then, because they saw that as big business, right? As a making it was making a lot of money, and they could see that. I mean, once you mandate something, no other medicine is ever mandated. But when you get to use, you know, once you have this idea of germ theory, people are afraid of that, and then they can mandate something they say prevents illness from this or the spread of germs, which it doesn't. But mm-hmm. any case, okay. You know.
In any case, we do have a long commercial break. If someone has a burning question, go already. Ahead. Yeah, this is going to be the last commercial before the end of the show. Right, Sam? Last commercial before the end of the show. Yeah, because I want to actually move on to the COVID stuff.
Oh, sure. So yeah, we've been going in the back.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, like the hydrous and the hydrogels. That's a big topic.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and the whole, everything. Okay, stay tuned. You're listening to Shannon Rowan with Shots Fired.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Shots Fired, this amazing compilation of everything you need to know about the history of medicine. It's like a huge book, but we're going to go right into how this level of mind-controlled population can move into buying the COVID thing, hook, line, and sinker. And, you know, just the level of mind control throughout the population, with cell phones being a huge source, you know, beyond TV. Once they had TV, everyone hooked on that, then they morphed over into other methods of mind control. So
right, and now you can get, now you get the propaganda 24/7 with alerts on your phone. I mean, this is like, they could never pull off this kind of this level of a coup, as I see it, you know, and get the whole world on board without these instruments, without people having cell phones all over the world. And nor could you contact trace people either, you know. So there's a lot of reasons that that we're having this pandemic and this scale at this time, at this juncture.
Right.
Yeah. So, okay, but the ingredients, so we were just saying I should touch on the ingredients of the new ones, so what they're calling vaccines now. And what I didn't quite finish saying before is that, you know, you can't just inject somebody with, you know, what they say is the causative agent, the pathogen, and get them, you know, and make them sick. So they have to add poisons. Although they say that they've actually like somewhat killed the virus. You know, again, it's not actually alive, but they say they've attenuated, they've changed it in some form that it's not as virulent, you know, it's not as destructive. Again, no proof of this. So that's why they say they have to add poisons in order for your immune system, alleged immune system, to then recognize this other form of a virus that's invading you as something that will be bad, as if your body wouldn't already know if a pathogen is invading you. Like, it's already denying the body's intelligence to know what to do when you're poisoned. You know, when something is like causing you harm, like, why would the body need to be prepped for that? You know, it doesn't actually make any sense. By also adding all kinds of other ingredients that are poisonous to, I mean, why wouldn't you develop immunity to, say, like the antifreeze ingredient in it, or even just anything they add to it, you know, sodium bicarbonate, or, you know, the aluminum? Why aren't you immune to aluminum in that case? Like, it's just all nonsensical. But the new ones are, it's this whole new level, because, you know, the mRNA, that's the messenger RNA drugs, were not approved, and they still haven't been approved except for this emergency use authorization because of the high rate of fatalities in the animal experiments, you know, over the decade before. And they weren't really being developed for vaccines necessarily. It was like for a lot of other things. So it was only under this emergency use authorization that they're able to even get this to the market, right? And a lot of money was invested in this first, so they wanted to have a return on their investments. And you had to have a pandemic, a worldwide one, where you could sell enough vaccines to get the return. Otherwise, you're screwed, right? And so all these people, provably, like, they became billionaires overnight, and they were struggling before, some of these companies. Anyway, they have, so one of the main, there's the disclosed ingredients, and then there's the other ones, right? But the, right. Even just the disclosed ingredients are cause for serious concern. Serious concern. So we've got lipid nanoparticles. Okay, the LNPs. So these are just fatty, you know, they're just fat. It's really from different, you know, it's petroleum products, basically. And they say that they had to use this to encase this synthetic mRNA. People should already be worried that you've got a synthesized, not a real genetic component to biology. It's like a computer generated one that is going to go into your body and tell your cells to make this, you know, spike protein, allegedly. Whether or not it's doing that, I don't know for sure, you know, but you don't really want your body to endlessly make a toxic protein, number one. and number two, this, it doesn't even matter if there is even an mRNA inside of this shell that's coating it and protecting it, because the shell itself is so dangerous. So these LNPs, lipid nanoparticles, are so toxic, and this has been known for a really long time. You know, it was like, you know, supposedly, what I love this, like, what they call immune response is people getting super sick when you poison them, and they're like, oh, good, it's an immune response, right? So, you know, these have been studied for use as adjuvant in vaccines, as a poison in vaccines, because it shows such a good immune response just by themselves. Right. So, you know, because so many mice got so sick and died, you know, from it, right. They're like, hey, immune response. In one study, 80% of the treated mice died in less than 24 hours just from these LNPs. So, one of them, This is what I have to tell everybody. If you don't hear anything out of this show, take away anything tonight, you got to hear this. Okay. SM-102. This is a chemical. This is one of the, so different, different products out there, you know, for these shots use different LNPs. And one of them is called SM-102. And it's in the Moderna vaccine. It's listed in there, SM-102. SM-102, this chemical, the company that makes it, Cayman Chemical Company, has a warning, an all caps warning label that says this product is for research only, not for human or veterinary diagnostic or therapeutic use. Under safety data, it says this material should be considered hazardous until further information becomes available. Do not ingest, inhale, get into eyes, on skin, or on clothing. Wash thoroughly after handling. It says that they updated it actually in 2021 to say suspected of causing cancer, suspected of damaging fertility of the unborn child, suspected of damaging fertility or the unborn child and causes damage to the central nervous system, the kidneys, the livers, and the respiratory system through prolonged or repeated exposures. That is in the Moderna vaccine. And then Pfizer has four different kinds of lipids, and one of them is called PEG. This is polyethylene glycol. And polyethylene glycol, I have a section all about this one, right? Also been known for a long time to be extremely toxic. And these are the same ones that can also get inside your brain. It can cross the brain, into the brain through that, brain barrier. Let's see what else about it. It's been used specifically to slow the clearance of proteins from blood. So this could include toxic proteins. It could include the spike proteins your bodies are making. It's going to, like, having PEG in there is going to slow that clearance. So say even you were like bitten by a venomous snake, you have PEG in you, you're not going to be able to clear that poison.
Exactly. Because of this.
Right. That's intentionally in there to slow clearance of proteins from the blood.
Right. Exactly. And that's in other vaccines too. They know that this does this. Yeah.
Right. And Johnson & Johnson has polysorbate 80, among other things, which you probably heard about that.
Yes.
It's been in, and that's, I think, the HPV, the Gardasil. It's known for its effects on fertility specifically. And we're seeing, the evidence shows that, huge increase in stillbirths, miscarriages, and infertility since these shots have rolled out. I mean, enormous. And it's amazing that these haven't been halted still. When you look at the data, even the data that's coming from the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, VAERS, which they even say is like at the best 10% of all these adverse events are reported, but probably more likely 1%. And even then, there's been more reports of a long list of different things, myocarditis, you were saying that, myocarditis was what, forgot his name right now, Buttar was diagnosed with, right? So huge increase in that, fertility effects of all kinds, deaths, more so than in 30 years of reporting for all other vaccines we've seen in the last couple of years. And they're not recalled. It's not halted. It's just, if you see that, what other conclusion can you draw except that this is a weapon being used against us intentionally? They continue with this, in the face of all this evidence, in the face of amputees. I mean, people have had the clotting, this blood clotting, has been outrageous. And that's where people are having limb amputated, amputations, like young people. Their arms and their legs sometimes, all of it. Can you imagine? It's like having to live after that, because they know it's from the shots.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And some of the doctors, they're saying, this is the shots caused this, but it's rare still. So you still you did your part in the war against disease. Like you were just a casualty. This is acceptable to this industry. It's acceptable to have these casualties because they pretend that otherwise more people would have died without any evidence to that effect. None.
Right. Exactly.
Amazing.
It is really amazing. I mentioned last week, I don't know if you've ever read the book, A Stolen Life by Marge Grant.
No.
Oh, I'm going to send you a couple.
You can send me some recommendations. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to actually just send them to you
for
loaning. Yeah. One of them I can just gift you, but I'm just saying I'm going to lend you Suzanne.
Okay.
Just because these are page turns, you can relax to these and know that everything in your book is correct.
Okay. Good.
It'll be oh wow, because your book is right on target on everything. Because I've been reading this stuff too for a long time and frankly got a little burnt out, so I'm glad you did it. Mm-hmm. did the whole thing that my alter ego here.
good. I'm glad I could be of service.
Well, seriously, I feel like you're my alter ego, because it's like, well, this is all, you know, it just, you know, when you do so much work to try to get people to wake up and avoid it. But, you know, I have to admit, I had an encounter this week. I got something in the mail that was just really puzzled me. And so, and I forgot that my friend was shipping something to me that was valuable. But there was no, her name wasn't on it or anything. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I went through all my databases that aren't online. And I found this guy's name on the return address that ordered something from me in 2005. Whoa. And so I couldn't find – his email didn't work. I didn't do no phone numbers at the time. I mean, this is a long time ago. So I sent a hard copy of a letter, and I put all this vaccination liberation literature in there and thanked him. And he calls me. Oh, my God, we had a long conversation. You know, and that this is kind of the pay it forward thing. So he – you know, a lot of people were affected when I first came on the scene, and he warns everyone. He has six beautiful home births. Unvaccinated children, and he talks to people in the next generation, you know, like just questioning the hepatitis B. That's his thing. You know, like, why are you putting this into your newborn? It's a sexually transmitted disease, you know, blah, blah. You know, so he just kind of wakes them up. That's the door he wakes people up on. But, you know, I'm just saying, you know, I feel like, oh, you know, after all this time, there are people out there actually continuing my work, which is what, you know, the whole idea was, to pay it forward, you know.
Right. That's great.
So, I mean, I'm just saying, and this is like, you know, your book is like, oh, I don't have to do anything. You know, we can take down our website. Just get her book.
No, thanks. Reading it first before you say that. I'm sure you have a lot on your website, not in my book.
Well, there is. There is, actually, you know, I mean, but, you know, the thing is we started having to do a lot of web links, and that people take down their website all the time. I mean, there's some great websites that are no longer there, or they're even removed from archive.org.
And that's why I didn't quite get all of them, but I basically have everything I've cited in my book. I have PDFs I saved. And what I say, and I have a note in the end notes to say, if you need the PDF, if the link is broken, just contact me. I'll send it to you. Because I was like, I saw that happening as I was doing this, like it's disappearing so fast. So some of it, I didn't get the PDFs. I have some other things I have screen captures of, you know, that disappeared. I mostly have it, though. So I mostly have it. And going forward, any other books I do, I'm going to know that right away when I pull up anything of interest that I want to, that I think it might be valuable, I'm just going to save it right away and back
it
up.
Right, because you probably have 95%, but still, some of that stuff at the very beginning, I mean, you know, it was, we had all kinds of stuff just hitting us, and it was like,
it was so much.
Oh my gosh.
Then
all of a sudden it disappears, and you're like,
it's gone. It is gone. It's so fast. I mean, so a lot of the research I did with John, you know, my computer died, and I lost the bookmarks, like when I was finishing the book. And so some of it I saved offline, but mostly I didn't, and I lost a lot of that because then I went to try to find it again, and it's gone. You know, so we didn't do like the citations and the links, but we like said, okay, this person said this at this time on this show or whatever, you know, like we did credit the quotes and everything, but we don't actually have that source information anymore for a lot of it because it's just.
So who is John?
Oh, John Hamer. Sorry.
John Hamer. Okay.
Yeah. With the Masquerade book. Like we did that without the endnotes and. You know, and I didn't save a lot of those links. And then the book, I had them in bookmarks, and then I lost those when my computer died. So, and he's, you know, a lot of his are, I mean, he may have some of it. But, you know, it's just been when I went to draw in some of that information again and try to find it, like a lot of it was just gone.
Right.
So it's really happy.
Hopefully you have your old computer because there's people that can grab all the information off it.
Yeah, I did. I know I tried. We paid $400 and we couldn't get it all. And I couldn't get the bookmarks. But anyway, I got some of it. And I have, like I said, I did save some of those articles and you know, that. And I do have some of that. But I know I've learned my lesson and going forward, you know, but it's going to be harder and harder. It's getting harder to research because, you know, it's just this stuff's not, it's so censored. It's just so hard to find. So
It is. I mean, I'm amazed that James McComiskey, you know, I'm so thankful he wrote the foreword to your book. You know, he's really amazing. But you know, the ultimate conspiracy, the biomedical paradigm. And he woke up with the blatant murder of his father over liver cancer, supposedly. I don't even think he probably even had liver cancer, frankly.
Wow, yeah.
You know, I mean,
I actually didn't know that. Yeah, he didn't. I didn't hear that from him.
Yeah, but, that was it's in his book, and we talked, but that was his whole inspiration. That's okay. Totally in his book. If you don't have his book, I'll send it.
No,
to
I
you.
Do. I read it, and I read it through a couple times. I just didn't remember the part about his father with liver cancer. Yeah, I mean, okay, sorry. I just somehow I don't remember that part.
Beginning, it's like inspired him to do the deep research.
Oh, okay, maybe I just didn't read the beginning again when I read it again, and I forgot that part. But I shouldn't. I was thinking. I remember more sort of the story he tells about. Another Hamer, you know, whose son died, and how that happened. That's such an interesting, crazy story.
Yeah.
And what happened to him.
That's the birth of German New Medicine, you know, how a lot of people with cancer, I mean, you usually, it's always preceded by a trauma in your life. And I was sure, you know, I can't say I didn't have cancer after Don died. I went through some pretty intense trauma, but I never went to get diagnosed. I realized I either want to live or I don't. So I started doing stuff. You know, but I, you know, why would I want to get diagnosed? You know, that's just is another fearful thing, is to go into their system and say, "Ooh, I see you have cancer." No, I need to heal my psyche from the trauma.
And what's so frustrating about that too is that people, unless you've got that doctor backing up your claims about yourself, nobody believes you. You know, and it's like, it's so crazy. You should know your body better than a doctor. Like, you know what you're experiencing and what that feels like. You don't even need to call it anything except you're very sick. You could be cancer. You know, I mean, it's just all these labels that get changed all the time. The diagnostic criteria constantly changes for the disease labels. You know, it's just like, but I notice how people are not very sympathetic if you haven't gotten that official diagnosis. They won't even believe you.
Right.
So I know it's just more lonely that way, but you're better off for sure.
Right. I just had to really get into my spiritual side. You know, usually a crisis will prompt you to double down and ask for guidance and, you know, and get into a more spiritual space you know, why am I alive and he's dead, you know, or whatever, you know, because we get really wrapped up into drama and emotions and I really like the Four Agreements. I did a whole show on just the Four Agreements, you know, don't take anything personally, you know, don't make assumptions, you know, always do your best. You know, your words are your wand, you know, don't be putting out lizards and snakes when you can put out pearls and diamonds out of your mouth, you know, and, you know, just the real basic principles, you know, for living in this world, you know, with all these different personalities and, you know, and, you know, everyone's dealt with stuff, and we live in a world of projection too. We project the negativity, you know, our own negativity sometimes on the next person. So when we're dealing with a difficult person, it's like, well, what is there in myself I'm seeing that I don't like, you know? I always have to, you know, you always have to do a little reflection when your mind goes negative.
Yeah, and this is the whole thing about taking responsibility for your own health and your own well-being. And like, because, and that's the only way to really, I mean, you want to do that deep work. I mean, that's the only really fulfilling way to exist, I think. You know, I mean, you're not going to, you know, what is your journey about? Why are you here? I mean, if you're going to spend the whole time just deferring to outside authorities and never discovering that within yourself and never being responsible for yourself, then, you know, what kind of existence is that? You're going to constantly be victimized for one thing.
Yep.
And you're never really going to grow. You're not going to grow spiritually, and you're not going to, you know, function well physically. So I think there's another level of this attacks is a spiritual level, you know, because by making us sick physically, it also robs us spiritually, because these are all connected. And so, you know, and this is why I really think that the hospice and, you know, the people when they're in hospital, or not even hospice, and they're put on this sort of like, you know, I call it like a path, the end of life path, or they call it that. You know, they drug you, like, you don't even get to have a conscious death. Like, you're, by that time, if you just follow along with everything and you take all the medicines, you're going to end up with Alzheimer's, you're going to end up with dementia, you'll be heavily drugged, and that's how you die. And so you're not consciously dying. So what happens next?
Right, you know? Exactly.
What happens
just,
next?
Just so you know, that's another story. I'm not going to do it on the air, but I helped someone that had the same last name as a relative in my past. You know, like the maiden names of the females, you know. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I had a whole job thing where, I helped her transition. And she was not expected to die. It was an Alzheimer's thing. And I quit because I said I wouldn't work with Alzheimer's. They lied to me. And so I found out that the government doesn't care about you at all because they took me off unemployment. And I said, I'm done. I'm not paying taxes. It's BS. I'm done. Yeah. You know, because that was my boundary. I want to work with a functioning mind if I'm doing CNA work. But anyway, long story. Chapter 17, this is how you end your book. And we're talking about that. Game on, new beginning, censorship and propaganda war failing. You know, I mean, you know, the importance of being responsible and being human, you know, being, doing these preventive strategies, detoxification, you know, and how we need to be part of the solution, right?
Right. Yeah, and that's why I try to always end books on, like, that note, like, okay, here's all this stuff that's it's really overwhelming, but like, what can we do now? So you've learned this, what do you do about it? And we do have the power to do a lot more than we realize. And so I think I'm hoping, you know, to empower people and realize that a lot of others are out there too, who are waking up or woke up and they're trying and they're coming together and they're doing things. So, anyway, but there's detox, detoxification. There's a spiritual kind of level of this that I, you know, get into, what it means to be human.
Well, so let's just reiterate your website, how would you get the book? I mean, do they just contact you?
Well, you could. I will have copies. I don't have copies right now, but I will in a few weeks probably. I'll have some author copies if they want to get signed copies. But you can contact me through my website. You can also find updates about my book and the links for my books on my website. So the best way to do all that is to go to my website. It's wifirefugee.com, but there's a hyphen between Wi-Fi and refugee. Wi-Fi-refugee.com. And so you can, you know, there's a contact me form and you can email me that way. And I do respond to all my emails. Eventually, you know, I'm off grid. I'm not online all the time and definitely not even every day. But as soon as I am, I'll respond to you. And
okay. Well, that's the end of the show. Wow. Fantastic, right. Shannon. I actually have another person in the chat that wants to get a case. I mean, we're all realizing the value. I cut and pasted the whole table of content into the.
Oh, great. Oh, thank you. Okay.
You get excited.
That's great.
I am. Okay.
Great. Thanks so much.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.